Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Extra Beans, Extra Beans, Extra, Extra, Extra Beans.
Welcome to Extra Beans.
Here we are. Here we are. We made it, guys.
We did it.
And thank you for your support, patrons.
Big time.
Very big thank you.
Thank you so much.
In the darkest days of March, when the shadow of winter was still upon us, before we eased into spring.
The cold, clammy, witch-like fingers that were clutching us in a quite uncomfortable way have released their grip and been replaced by the warm sausage-like fingers of
King Charles.
Of our king.
Who is the personification of spring.
It's going to be the coronation, right? When's that?
May, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometime?
Is it? Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do a regal special.
Is our regal zone still... Has it been updated for the new king?
Well, it already started with All Stand for the King.
Oh, did it?
It was foreseen.
We feature-proofed the jingle, I think.
Did we? Okay.
Because I would say perhaps treasonously, at the time, thought there was a chance that the Queen might perish.
The funny thing about the Queen dying, not the funny thing about the Queen dying, the thing about the whole thing, is that, do you remember at the time, there's all these people on the telly who were able to say things like, and really it's almost unthinkable to imagine what Britain will be like without the Queen as our tiller, our strength and stay. It's almost unimaginable to imagine the...
Without her driving our trains. Without her...
Opening our budgeons first thing in the morning.
But people would say that kind of thing.
Delivering our mail.
People would say that kind of thing. And then obviously the Queen has died. It's sad when somebody dies, of course, but we now have the King. And it's much the same as it was before.
Yes. I imagined that the wind would stop and all of the trees would suddenly sink into the earth. Yeah. And whales would simply take off, take wing and fly into the air, never to be seen again.
Do you mean the country or the mammal?
The country. Gone. The only thing still binding it.
It's true. And also, you know what it reminds me of, though? Just going back a bit, but it sort of reminds me of around about when the year 2000 was approaching, in 1999.
But it was approaching in every year before the year 2000.
Well, not BC. BC, it was getting further away. Well, it depends which way you're reading it. I mean, BC and AD are both just different... angles on the same, different directions on the same axis, aren't they? You know what I mean? Like, anyway.
For me, Henry, I think of the world in terms of BE and AE, before Elizabeth II and after Elizabeth II. Our strength and stay.
Piloting our helicopters.
The very maypole around which we dance.
Slaughtering our pigs.
Descaling our kettles.
What's it called when something's got a shiny surface on it, like a bit of paper?
The laminate, the nation's laminate.
Laminating our menus. Sorry.
Year 2000.
Year 2000. Well, I think everyone, obviously there was the millennium bug talk and stuff, but everyone, or us, I certainly thought the whole world would be different because it'd be the year 2000. It would be like the future. I genuinely thought that everything was going to change.
You're expecting Judge Dredd to appear at any second.
I thought Judge Dredd was going to appear, administering
off
justice in his unique way through a blaster. I thought everything would develop futuristic fonts and futuristic marketing because it'd be like we're in the future now. So like I thought like W.H. Smith would become W.H. Smith with a Z or something. Future. Dior would become like all silver.
Ryman's 5000.
Exactly.
No more door handles. Millet's automatic bot. Doors everywhere.
Exactly. Automatic
and then to stairs. It's just escalators.
Yeah. I thought the world would become... And then actually it just comes and you're like, oh, yeah, no, it's just sort of... quite similar, really. Yeah, so with the Queen, I was thinking like it was going to seem really weird that her face would still be on money and stuff, but it's not that weird, is it? It's just her face is still on the money.
I guess it depends how long you gaze at your money, the face on your money, before you hand over your fiver. I don't think I'd gaze at it for very long.
I see my fivers as friends, Mike. I get to know them before I part with them.
I'm mainly contactless.
I am mainly contactless as well. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's part of it.
Anyway, when you talk about that massive change that you thought would come in the year 2000, or maybe would come with the passing of the Queen, I felt that there was that sort of change when the three of us got together a few weeks ago and had a chat about Zeppelins.
Oh, lovely stuff.
I know what you mean. And that's why you think of the world as divided up into P-T-B-E-A-Z, pre-three bean salad episode about Zeppelins. And P,
it's the same.
B, E, A, Z. Post three being said about Zeppelins, don't you? Really confusing system, Ben. Should have thought that through.
So here you go. Here's some more stuff from our recording.
And thank goodness.
Michael from Bremen sent in Zeppelins.
Lemon.
There he is.
We've been down this road.
Impression.
We've been down this road before. I'm not going down that road again.
Oh, you're a sexy little with a saxophone.
Yeah. Is that sort of thing? Where are they from, Led Zeppelin?
He's from the Midlands, I think.
It's always the Midlands, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you ever hear anything going, oh, she's a beautiful lady, I like her, come on, they're always like Aussie. They're always from the Midlands.
Aussie's a Midlander, isn't he?
I heard a great thing about Aussie. So you know, Black Sabbath played at the closing ceremony of the Commonwealth Games last year.
I missed that entirely somehow.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. So basically, Commonwealth Games was in Birmingham. They played the closing ceremony, and it was really good. But he's been really ill recently. Like, he's not a well man.
Yeah, he was in the news recently. He's bowed out, hasn't he?
He said he's played his last ever gig. So I think maybe that was his last ever gig.
Ooh.
He's got Parkinson's and various other things. And so people were going, oh, I wonder why he managed to do the that one when he's so ill. And the story goes that they said to Ozzy, right, are you going to be able to do this thing in Birmingham? And he said, no, I'm too ill. I can't really perform. Sorry about that. And they went, oh, okay. All right, we're going to go ahead then just with Black Sabbath, but instead of you singing, it's going to be Robbie Williams. And he was like, Shannon, get me on that flight.
And he rose from his bed and he threw off the walking stick. He disconnected the drip. Ben, can I say, when you were telling that story, I thought it was going to end in a different way.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, he said he couldn't do it. He wasn't going to do it. He couldn't perform. And they said to him, well, okay, how about, though, have you seen this body-enhancing, piston-based robo-suit we can put you in? Whereby he's mounted into robotic arms and legs. He can move around. There's pistons. He can also operate a machine gun. He can lift up cars
for extremely elderly popes.
That's right. It's got jetpack, and that kind of stuff. But it wasn't that. I also thought the other thing you might say is it Elton John or there's some singer recently who basically gone, if you stick me in a really comfy chair,
I'll do anything.
I could do anything. Because basically, if I'm not going to be on stage, it's because I'm going to be in a big comfy chair. So hang on a minute. Square the circle. Get the big comfy chair on the stage and then everyone's winning.
I don't really understand what you're saying. You're saying that they've retired apart from if there's a comfy chair. Is that what you're saying?
No. I can't remember who it was. If it was Elton John. Someone recently, they've changed how they do gigs, essentially. So they're now in a comfy chair. I think they're on stage in a comfy chair and the audience is just watching them. I don't know if they're playing the music on a CD. I don't know.
But they're in an armchair, and they just happen to be in an armchair. And whether or not someone brings that armchair to a Vegas stage and puts a piano in front of it, who knows? I
mean, as long as you're in an armchair, that's what matters.
They don't mind.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose it's a very sort of low budget version of the ABBA, of what ABBA are doing. No, but it is the actual person. But I think, you know, the guitar then could be maybe lying down on their knees rather than holding it. There's various things you can do to keep doing what you're doing. Instead of moshing, they'd probably do like a reverse mosh. So members of the audience, no, not a mosh, a crowd dive. They'd do a reverse crowd dive where I suppose people from the audience could
dive onto them.
dive onto them. the other way around. I don't know, but yeah, I think they're looking into ways, obviously, because what we're talking about here is the monetization of IP, right? that is what the live experience is about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I know Mike's on tour at the moment. You don't have to say anything at this point, but we're talking about the monetization of IP. I mean, that's what we're doing right now.
Was the comfy chair guy
monetizing?
Is that what you're touring?
Of course it was. It was Mike.
I've been using a foldaway futon.
That's what's happening. It's right in front of my face.
He's bringing the energy levels right down in the gigs.
You're one of the few stand-ups to do your show whilst reclining, aren't you? A bold new move.
Which I thought they'd said couldn't be done. Actually, what they said, it shouldn't be done.
It shouldn't be done. Now, they spent so much time thinking whether it could.
They didn't think if it should. Yeah.
The show begins with a bit of piano and the mic says, "Welcome to my salon. come hither. Let me tell you a story."
And then there's a silhouette and you think it's Mike's body. It's a silhouette. It feels like it's going to be massive. The light shines over a silhouette of someone. And then you think, oh, it's Mike. He's up an atom. But then it dies. It's actually a cardboard cutout of Morse. Mike comes up through the stage sitting on his armchair. The Morse cutout collapses and is replaced by a television showing all episodes of Morse.
Some of the best nights, actually. Those ones are going...
Those are really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then at the end, the Kevin Whateley Q&A?
If you can get it. Yeah.
That's right.
But he will only play Northumberland. That's it. He's not a comfy chair or no. Yeah. He's not moving out of Northumberland.
So he's beamed in, isn't he? Yeah, he's beamed in, unless it's Northumberland.
It's a Kevin Whateley avatar, yes.
Yeah.
Again, it's similar to what they've done with ABBA, isn't it? So you've got... They've sourced someone who's the same age as Kevin Whateley would have been.
ABBA's first single. Yeah.
And and that person then stands there, and then a projection of Kevin Whateley, as he does look, is projected onto the body of Kevin Whateley.
And the audio is projection of Kevin Whateley's thoughts. Yeah.
Also, we have discussed this before, but I just want to make it clear that's not how the ABBA thing works. I don't just mean the Kevin Whateley bit.
But I think that was how the prototype, like, when they tried it out using Whateley originally, when they were testing the technology.
Yeah, that's right. And then they thought, as an offshoot idea, they thought, actually, Kevin Whateley was like, he was sitting around with the guy playing Kevin Whateley and with the guy operating the Kevin Whateley projection unit. Yeah. And the three of them were just like, why don't we actually do this? As part of Mike Wozniak's upcoming tour.
Yes.
And that's how the story...
And basically, as Mike's tour goes on, you build up, you know, ticket sales come in, soon you'll be able to afford a second avatar of Morse, and then by the end of the tour, you're looking at basically a live Morse episode on stage.
I think by the time we get to the country...
So imagine an episode of Morse where all of those characters, instead of being on the screen in the backgrounds, are actually projected onto actors who are all the same age as they would have been
at the time they first heard of Morse.
And moving around the set, but instead of the actual Oxfordshire countryside, there's just the bare back of a...
it's Mike's backdrop, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Mike's backdrop.
Which is my bare back, yeah.
Yeah, Mike's bare back, isn't it? So, Mike, is it true that though, while you're watching the Morse episode in the first half of the show, only you can see the screen?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but that's a status thing. That's to make sure.
Sorry, what screen? I'm so confused as to what we're looking at.
Well, no, because in the first half, Mike's
a small portable television that I put in front of course, the front
you
of stage.
The episode of Morse. Yeah.
Oh, so it's a bit like a Gogglebox experience of watching Mike watch Morse.
Yeah. Exactly.
Except Mike doesn't speak. You don't speak.
It absolutely baffles me that people turn up to that sort of thing, but yeah, they do.
No, but in terms of the monetization of IP, what they are looking into at the moment is, because obviously they're desperately sad that a lot of the great owners of IP are sadly getting older.
Your Cliff Richards.
your Cliff Richards is your Santana Nazis, isn't it? And how do we continue monetizing the IP? We're in the Spotify world, so all the Spotify money, that is going into a big Finnish black hole. No one knows where the money goes. No one's profiting from it, is it? It's just, it's a huge, it's a sort of volcanic, I think it's a volcano.
Somehow it's heating underground shopping malls, I think.
It's heated somehow.
In the cold seasons.
Yeah. But essentially
we're not sure what the technology is, but that's what it's doing, yeah.
Yeah, and we think it may be linked to data mining, but again, we're not sure. Because all that Spotify money is not fungible, is it? It's just. Am I right, Ben? I think it's pseudo fungible.
Yeah.
It's pseudo fungible. So, the guy who owns Spotify,
Daniel Ek,
Daniel Ek, he literally cannot afford a proper packet of crisps. He only eats Transformer crisps, the cheap ones, the 20p bags. he eats 20p crisps. Because none
he
of the
he just
money...
eats the little packets of salt out of Salt and Shakes. Can't
he
afford
just
the crisps.
Eats salt and Shakes. No. Well, he has to set the actual crisps. He tries to bake them. He breaks those down into their starch fibers, and that's all to set against the colossal debt he's running up.
And he's gone back to teaching as well, hasn't he? So he's working. He's working at least two or three.
He's
jobs.
Gone back to teaching, and he's just hoping that if the maths adds up at some point, it'll all flip, and he'll be the richest person in the history of the universe. But until then, it's Salt and Shake bags. And it's back to teaching. But so that's why the live experience is, isn't it? It's how
people make money. Yeah,
it's the best way to fungibilize the asset, the financial asset of the IP. So what they're trying to do is trying to find ways to keep these people going. Obviously, the ABBA Voyage is one example, but another is to. Essentially, you reduce what the performer has to do on stage so that they can essentially be sat in an armchair, eventually lying down.
Or just a floating head.
And eventually...
Floating share head.
If they can achieve the floating share head, loosely tethered, or tethered to the stage and just floating about, whatever, that's what they're going to...
Or just have an assistant who can harvest some spare breath from them when they're at home, knocking about.
That's another idea.
And then play that through a sort of robo-larynx.
The robo-larynx. All these things being...
Take that on tour.
Because how do you monetize... You know, the fact is, you need to... Why should death get in the way of monetization? Do you know what I mean? Makes you think, doesn't it? Yeah. Put that on a T-shirt. Released a
well through AI
a mouse pad. Yeah,
3B Insider could continue long after all of our deaths.
Yeah,
for an almost infinite amount of time.
Almost infinite,
or infinite.
Can it be almost infinite?
leave the bollockings to the listener.
Yeah,
so, I think.
Yeah. Good point.
I should say, Spotify. Isn't Finnish, it's Swedish.
Is it now?
Just to see off that little bollocking.
Thanks, Ben.
Oh, it's never enough. There's always something you haven't thought of.
You did that Google on the quiet, didn't you? How did you do that, Ben? That was a nice little... have you got a special silent keypad now for these little Googlings that you do?
How dare you?
Tell me some more facts about how it's Swedish, but with your hands so I can see your hands. Which bit of Sweden is it from?
Oh, it's based in Malmo.
he's trained his penis to Google. Okay.
I only know a lot about Spotify because I used to live with someone who worked for Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
And the main thing was that they had the kind of cool offices of a modern cool company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Avocados everywhere. Just free avocados coming out of little pipes.
Yeah.
Fizzy water, various temperatures coming through the taps.
Yeah, all that.
Little sofas in the shape of avocados.
Yeah. Taps for ping pong balls.
Yeah.
Is it sometimes you didn't know if it was a real avocado or if it was something else in the shape of an avocado?
Or one of your bosses.
yeah. So, and There must have been heady days. So I imagine a lot of little mini fridges you'd open, the whole thing would be stuffed full of avocados.
I think basically, yeah. I think I did go there once and she showed me the fridge. It was one of those things where when you start working there, you get quite excited because you're like, oh my God, there's a fridge full of yogurts and I can just have as many yogurts as I want at any time.
Yeah, I know.
But then you work out that that's just a way of them keeping you in the office. They don't they don't want you to leave to go to the local yogurt dairy.
No.
Because normally you'd be, in the old days, you'd be going home and you'd be eating yogurt with your family, or they'll be going out or maybe like visiting a yogurt shop or a yogurt factory.
Breaking yogurt with others.
Getting involved in some of the latest sort of cultural yogurt-based events.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or maybe giving some of your yogurt to someone that had a bit less yogurt than you.
Mm. Joining a yogurt union.
Mm. To be fair, she did used to smuggle yogurts out of the office to give to me, so.
Which sounds like the most disgusting euphemism I think I've ever heard in my life, but I think you meant it literally.
Right, can you hear us now, Henry?
Yeah.
Technical gremlins for the start of the season.
This season has kicked off with a huge technical mishap, hasn't it? I was going to say I was really excited about today's podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was in a good mood about it. I was feeling quite positive about both of you.
For once.
Yeah, which is obviously rare because obviously we've been working together for quite a while now and we obviously loathe each other now. Any creative part, isn't it? All bands, it's the same sort of psychology as a band, isn't it? A podcast.
Yeah.
Sort of team like this.
It's like the stodgiest of marriages.
Yeah. An absolute syrup stodge. Yeah, it's like wading through treacle.
It's like a Sunday afternoon trip to B&Q.
Mm-hmm. Physical affection. Exactly. Christmas and birthdays only.
Yeah. Yeah. And just not so much a simmering resentment as a rolling boil of resentment, isn't it? That we top up throughout the year. And no, but obviously there comes a point, doesn't it, where the gang, the band, have to stay together now economically. We're dependent on each other. And we obviously can't stand to look at each other, can we? That's why we have stand-ins now, don't we, on the Zoom. I'm not looking at it. But yeah, no, that's how we operate now, isn't it? So but today, unusually, I was quite excited. Plugged all my gear in, and obviously I couldn't hear either of you. I could see you both chatting away, having a really nice chat. And initially, I was like, "Oh, it'll be fine in a minute." I kept on unplugging.
We were having quite a nice chat, weren't we, Ben?
Well, I could tell you were having a nice chat.
Got quite interrupted, really, in the end.
Yeah. Well, exactly, and that's what was annoying me because I could tell. Also, there's no way that chat could ever be restarted with me involved. And the longer I was, the more problems I was having with the technical issues. That the more I could see your chat was reaching crescendos, and I could sense there were callbacks within the chat that you were both really building something special together. And I was getting more and more frantic. So I was absolutely desperate to get involved with the chat. But I simply couldn't get my apparatus to work.
It really seemed to affect you as well, because you know this happens quite a lot that you somehow managed to get your tech wrong and But you seemed really affected by it, like it was really getting to you.
It was really getting to me.
You were in a pickle.
Yeah. I was in an absolute pickle. It also at one point I got absolutely furious, but just with technology as a movement.
The spinning jenny has put all your brothers out of business.
Now, it was more just
their yarns are so fine.
Such delicate yarns. And such a forgiving washing such a broad range of washing cycles that they can tolerate
despite that thick weft.
Yeah, thick yet delicate. They said it couldn't be done. Whereas your yarns, Ben, they've got it's such a complex washing cycle. They have to be dry washed.
Well, salt water wash first.
a salt water wash, and then a dry beating,
and then a wet whipping,
and then a wet whipping, and then they have to be hung off a turret for a day.
I used to live near a dry cleaners, and I'm still unsure as to what they're doing. And once I took a suit there. And I'm pretty sure that all they did was I gave it to them. I then gave them an insane amount of money, like 14 quid or something.
That's the system.
Then they put it on a hanger, put the hanger in their back room.
That's true. That is
and
true.
Then I think for 5 days they sat next to it and just smoked a cigarette.
They may have played cards.
may play cards, and then I went back and they gave it back to me.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same as before, but it's like the sound of cigarettes.
Another thing they'll sometimes do, I think, Ben, is they'll write insults to do with you on bits of paper and sew it into the lining of your clothes.
Oh, yeah, if they're really advanced, yeah. Or they might just pin it with a safety pin if they can't be bothered.
Yeah, that's another, yeah.
Yeah, a pin that will definitely stick right in your side as soon as you put the thing right back on.
Yeah.
Absolute con.
Yeah, you're going to that award ceremony with a bloody nipple. And no mistake.
So two things which back up your point. Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen a tour advertised at dry cleaners.
That's true.
They don't want us to know what's happening back there. B, I've never seen a Richard Rodgers designed dry cleaners using Pompidou technology. There's never any transparent.
No, it's completely opaque technology.
It's completely opaque buildings.
Yeah.
And also, you're right, they take them into a section in the back. But the other thing they do, Ben, which I think, because I think it's possible that, that dry cleaning is one of the biggest global cons.
Yeah.
Pranks. Well, what's worse than a prank?
A prank you've got to pay £14 for.
£14 prank.
AKA the stitch-up.
The stitch-up, oh yeah. But the other thing they do, I think, Ben, which I think is what stops people really inquiring into it too much, is they make your clothes have a repulsive chemical smell, don't they? So I think they are definitely pouring on some sort of acids or some sort of chemicals.
Yeah.
Right.
Which make you think something ungodly has happened.
They also make it clear, whenever you arrive in a dry cleaner, it doesn't matter where it is, what time of the week, they always make it very clear that your presence is very unwelcome and that this is the straw that might break the camel's back.
And that
stops you, any questions you might have had about the technology, you're not going to ask because you're aware that you're a problem. You just got to drop your suit on the desk and go.
You're right. They're very surly places, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah, you're pissing people off.
Yeah. Next week? Oh, no. I can give it to you in 17 days, unless you pay me £84, in which case I can do it in 8 working days.
There is always, it's true, there's always a very sort of unofficial, there's no paperwork, there's no paper trail, sort of a bargaining which happens over how long it'll take. As well, isn't it? Because they'll say to you, when do you want this? Mm. And you know that they're sort of asking that in a slightly passive-aggressive way.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you say tomorrow, they'll say Thursday. And the other thing which I think befuddles the customer is you also get a free terrible clothes hanger.
Mm-hmm. And made from cheap plastic. They are keeping the plastic industry alive,
They're keeping the plastic industry going single-handedly.
Yeah. And they'll shrink that bit for you.
That's right. And you also get a very thin bag.
Mm.
Perfect for suffocating an assailant, though, that bag.
they are good for...
Has there never been like a sort of action movie sequence in a dry cleaners? It's the perfect place.
It feels like a perfect sort of Statham vehicle, doesn't it?
It does.
The dry cleaner. You could call it the dry cleaner.
Yes.
Well, and I hope you'll be more than dry humping me later. That could be some of the...
Yeah, some of the sexy stuff. Yeah. They'll get you in for the sexy lines. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. We've had some notes through from the studio, Henry. They want a rewrite on that line. I'm not sure why they haven't gone for it.
The dry humping?
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, they were talking about maybe replacing you with Tom Stoppard, so this probably is your last chance in terms of...
He's pitched wet humping, and they like that, and they think they're going to go for it.
He doesn't understand the material. Which is also another line from one of the seminal scenes, isn't it? In the dry cleaner, when he brings in a pair of hot wash only wet wash trousers. But here's a question. Can you dry clean anything? Because some things are dry clean only.
The only thing Jason Statham can't dry clean
is his past.
Oh, dear Ben.
Sorry, guys. I think I'm cursed. I've had such ill health since the beginning of the year.
Mm.
you have got full Victorian.
Yeah.
It's the, if you,
you
hear,
cut a, a tragic figure, you're not making it till the end of the novel. It's going to be
you really don't.
That chapter where you go down, it's going to be a real tearjerker.
Yeah. I mean, allegory for the empire, I think, in the novel as well.
Well, no, you're an allegory for the empire and also for the nefarious industrialists, aren't you? Who have used the Industrial Revolution to clog up our rivers, clog up our forests.
Yeah,
just clog up everything, haven't they? Yeah. Clogged up the whole nation with all the
my lungs are full of wool.
With all the wool byproduct, which of course was a byproduct, obviously, of steam trains, wasn't it? Wool, which is because you see the steam coming from a train, it's just clumps of wool,
sheep,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a sheep. It's one of the only areas where stop motion animation is actually is literal, isn't it? with the wool they used to simulate the steam effect of early industrial steam trains.
It's turned full circle.
It has now come full circle. So Ben, yeah, sorry to hear that. So at some point during today's podcast, you may die while coughing up a lovely Aaron sweater. That might be something that happens.
Do try and record your own requiem before you do that, though, Ben. If you can squeeze out.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that would be lovely.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Mike and I can't do that kind of thing. No. Plus, if we could, we probably couldn't be asked.
Annual's Day. Annual's Day.
Spirit Wars. Jimin. Sanctus.
Bonjami. Bonjami.
Choo, 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 choo. Bonjamin, Bonjamin, Bonjamin. Oh, Bonjamin, Bonjamin, Bonjamin. Yeah, 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 yeah. Bonjamin, Bonjamin. Nine. It'd be good to give it a little bit of a... Oh, no, he's not expiring.
I can't believe I'm dying and that's the last thing I heard. That's the last thing ringing in my ears was your rap.
Yeah. Also, but Mike... As a touring comedian, as you are currently, the other bit in The Shawshank Redemption where he sees...
Mike tunnels out of every hotel.
And I do get at least 30% of audience members do tunnel out of the show as well. That's my
which
fault,
is what,
really.
Which
they're
is why they all
driven
come,
to
they,
that. Yeah.
And that's why they all come in with a poster of Raquel Welch, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Rolled up under their arm to put on the wall to disguise their tunnel. In Shawshank Redemption, he gets released from prison, one of the guys, and he ends up in this room where they all go, and he sees a little bit of graffiti from the previous guy that got out and was unhappy. Do you remember?
Do you mean the old librarian? You're talking about the old librarian guy?
Oh, come off it, guys.
The guy with the little pet mouse?
I don't know. Isn't there a bit where he goes into this hotel room and then someone's
hold on.
Some graffiti
Sorry.
And it says...
Have you actually seen this film?
Oh, shut up, everyone.
Some trust has been lost.
Shut up, everyone. My technology's not working. Right. I was going to make a comparison to something. If enough... But I have no, I don't necessarily know what I'm comparing it to. You guys don't seem to it. No, either. So what I was going to say was... Can I say, guys, a conversation, right, doesn't happen in a vacuum. Okay? It involves other people. So you can't just suddenly take away my, you know, I'm a guy. I'm treading water here, right? But you're the water. Or I can't do it without in a vacuum. It can't happen. Or if I'm a guy who's got air suction or reverse suction.
I don't think I'm the water. I think I'm the seagull that's landed on your head that's making it increasingly difficult for you to...
I can't really work out what you're
keep your
about.
Nose above the surface.
Henry, do you think you're in a conversation with Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman?
Well, they're the stand-ins we've hired today. That's the problem. Of course. Oh, that's
oh, we
why.
Should
I've
have picked unrecognizable
confused.
People.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Are you talking about something that happened on the set of The Shawshank Redemption?
No, it happened in real life in The Shawshank Redemption. But there's a bit where he goes into the hotel room and someone's written on the wall a bit of graffiti. I'm going to look it up online here. Graffiti on hotel wall. And it's something like...
Does it say...
Make sure in the Google search as well as Shawshank Redemption you put / some other film as well.
Yeah, yeah. / Titanic. Let's see what happens.
Does the so-called graffiti say directed by Frank Darabont?
That's right, and it's moving graffiti. And it moves slowly upwards. Yeah. That's right. It's the moving graffiti scene at the end,
in the hotel room at the end when they. Yeah. And it's funny how all films do end in a hotel room with moving
a dark
graffiti.
Hotel room that's with all the lights off, with moving graffiti.
It's something like he sees the previous guy. I think maybe actually he killed himself. So it was a bit sad.
The librarian. Yeah, he did. Yeah, the old guy. Yeah,
and he left a note saying like I'm sad or something or. And then he ends up in the same hotel room seeing graffiti. He thinks he's going to do the same thing. But then instead he moves to Mexico to live on a beach with Tim Robbins. And it's not clear how they're going to live together. They're going to set up a business? So they're just two friends on a beach in Mexico. It seems like a really... it may not end well, frankly.
Can you remember
the
point
I wouldn't
want
to be on a beach in Mexico with you guys for the rest of my life.
But can you remember why you'd brought up the Shawshank Redemption in the first place?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't Morgan Freeman.
It was two of the... It was to do with the kettle o' piss.
It was to do with the kettle o' piss. I was going to make a comparison to... But it simply can't work. As I say, a conversation doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Me and Mike are giving as good as it gets.
No, you're trying gamely, but I think it might... to be honest, no, I've already made a mental note. This might be more of an Al Fuckers thing. Sorry. It's cool because I've never. I tell you what, Eamon Holmes has never left me hanging. other than physically, where he has left me hanging off two cranes in a cliff.
We had a bit of a sweet treat also in March because we had a Neil got in touch, not for the first time, not for the last time.
And don't know if it's the same Neil.
We don't know. And it's not for us to ask these questions.
Hard to tell with Neil. Yeah,
why would you pin down Neil to a single individual man? Neil isn't just a man or a person. It's more than that. It's a concept. It's a way of thinking, a way of life. It's the air we breathe. It is Neil. Neil is Neil. Why is Neil? What is Neil? But Neil wasn't asking us to ponder these questions. Neil wanted us to go forth bravely to the Arctic.
Ooh, chilly.
And we did. We punched our way through the tundra all the way to the top, and we kept going. And here's the bit where we kept going.
When you're in the North Pole, everything's north. Is that right? Or everything's south?
Everything's south, presumably, if you're at the top. Surely?
Yes.
Here's a thought. Does that mean if you stand on the very, very true north, you spin round a bit like if you were to put a peanut on a vinyl record being played? Yeah. Would you shouldn't you just be spinning?
Yeah, that's a good point. You're like a ballerina. You would.
Yeah.
Not dreadfully quickly, but yeah.
You should be spinning like a... I'd say bloody quickly, mate.
No.
Maybe so...
It'd take a day to go around, wouldn't it?
Not at the top. All that spinning's happening in a much more... All that spinning's happening in a much more condensed area at the top, then. It's not spread out like it is around the middle.
So how long does a day last at the North Pole, then?
I think so quick you almost don't notice it goes back in a flash. Goes by in a flash, I reckon.
So would you age then? If you stand directly on the perfect North Pole in that case, would you age very... You'd have sort of several years in the course of a single hour. Is that right?
I reckon maybe that's what happens to explorers up there. It's not that it is that cold. It's just they feel bloody cold because they're like aging. And that's why most of them don't come back, possibly.
They do often come back with a beard, like a long beard.
That's true.
What's the Northwest Passage?
Oh,
Ben.
Well, that's in America, isn't it?
That is a... Don't ask that question, because that question always ends in 2 years' time. Mike is coming at you with a spoon. and you're saying, you've already eaten my left leg. And Mike's going, it's not enough. We'll be in a capsized vessel miles from home. Because why? Why did this happen? That's what I'll be asking. I will have fallen in with, obviously, I'll have fallen in with a brigade of walruses. I won't be. I'll have left you guys a few weeks before.
Yeah, you'll be on the back of the largest one.
I'll be back on the back of the largest walrus.
With a rope on each tusk.
Yeah. And it'll be, and you'll, Ben, you'll be, it'll just be my, why was I, my obsession with the Northwest Tunnel has destroyed us all.
My last concert was Belinda Carlisle.
Are you
what?
Serious?
There we go.
In 1989?
No, this is about 3 weeks ago.
What? How did you not tell us you went to Belinda Carlisle? Where was this?
A couple of very old friends. Of one of my old,
is this the thing of the
very
first
old friends, one of whom wanted to celebrate, I think, the 24th or 25th anniversary of him having seen Belinda Carlisle.
And what better way?
Well, on the night that we weren't there. It was just a bit of an excuse to meet up. So we all, yeah, we assembled in Exeter.
Where was
Belinda
it?
Carlisle?
I saw Belinda. It was in the Great Hall on the university campus.
Okay.
Which is quite, it's a big venue. It's quite a bad venue because it's kind of designed to be a sort of massive, intimidating exam hall, really.
Right.
So there's a huge cavern of space. And to be fair, Belinda managed it. Like, it was fine in the hands of Belinda. But for the support act, which was the Christians, they kept the bar open. And the way it's designed is that if you want to go to the bar or for a piss at any point, you have to walk right down the centre aisle towards the stage and along the stage.
Oh,
go
no.
Go for a piss and then come back. And if you've got several hundred people doing that, I've seen it in stand-up gigs, it's a bit distracting, but the guy from the Christians, he was cheesed off. He was trying to joke that he wasn't cheesed off, but he was saying he was cheesed off, and then he'd get quite angry, and then he'd make a joke. He was just only teasing, but he was clearly getting increasingly irate with the situation.
But nobody dead pissed during Belinda's set?
No one needed to piss. And it was quite an old crowd. I mean, we were the youngest people there. This trio of three men in their 40s, we were the youngest by a country mile. But any requirement, any prostatism or pelvic instability, that vanished. Such was the strength of Belinda's performance.
So
it was gone.
Heaven is a Place on Earth is the big hit.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah. I can't think of another Belinda Carlisle song.
Oh, yeah, that's
Leave Your Light On For Me.
Oh, yeah, that's
Circling the Sand.
Goes round and round. Never ending love.
Wild
Hearts
We
Found.
Yeah, there's quite a few. You'd recognise quite a few. In fact, it was mostly bangers, mostly recognisable bangers, the whole set.
Oh, great.
And my friend who had suggested it in the first place was utterly entranced. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, she was really crush-worthy at school. She was very fit. Mm. Very, very fit. Wasn't she? Belinda Carlisle. Exceptionally fit. Is that okay to say?
I think so, yeah.
And supported by the Christians. Yeah, I vaguely remember the Christians.
Also, everyone was up on their feet for Belinda, like immediately as soon as she came on stage, because it's a seated venue, right?
Right, yeah.
So everyone's up on their feet and dancing and boogieing around. Whereas for the Christians, I mean, he literally had to plead with everyone to stand on their feet and try and dance for the last track, which people did.
Yeah. Because,
you know.
Because people are quite compliant.
compliant in the West Country. But other than that, he was mostly dealing with about 1,000 people sat in seats staring at him, waiting for Belinda, and, you know, 300 people going for a piss or a pint of lager.
I've just gone on the website. I've missed Belinda Carlisle. She came to Cardiff on February the 4th.
Oh.
My partner loves Belinda Carlisle. She's a big fan.
I feel like it's on me. I feel I should have flagged that up ahead of time.
Was she American?
Yeah.
So was that a gig where you sort of... So you were standing, were you, and sort of dancing, were you, during the Belinda Carlisle?
Oh, yeah, once Belinda was on.
We were just trying to picture it.
You couldn't help yourself. Up you got.
Sure.
Boogieing away.
I've not sort of done that thing of going to see gigs of the people that I was, you know, that I was, I suppose, into as a kid or whatever.
Yeah, it's the beginning of the end, really. You've
What about gigs that your friend was into as a kid?
Yeah, you've jettisoned your youth now, Mike. Any kind of vestiges of being a young person has gone now. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you went to see Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you find yourself, Henry, going to anything called something like the 80s Road Show, where it's a gig where there's like a few different, you know.
Yeah. In fact, there's a club. Is it Joe Wiley does some sort of club night?
Right.
Which is like 90s bangers, and it's for, you know, yeah, people in their sort of 40s and 50s to... And it's like during the day, and like, there's like, I think it's like...
there's really nice chorizo on sale.
There's loads of chorizo baps, and there's like a whole chorizo they bring in, a whole chorizo, which is very rare. You've seen a whole chorizo. It's the exact...
Carried aloft by one of the remaining members of Boney M.
That's right. Yeah. And there'll be medical insurance booths. There'll be all kinds
of... There'll be written reassurances that the acoustic levels will be tinnitus safe as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I do find gigs quite loud now, Mike. Was Belinda Carlisle a bit loud?
It was okay, actually.
Yeah, I find it all a bit loud.
It was a thoughtful volume, I thought.
Yeah. So was it, a nice volume whereby you can... Because it's not enough to just eat chorizo, is it? You want to be able to talk about the chorizo. There's also chorizo is a social event.
It would have been loud enough that you couldn't hear the person next to you chewing the chorizo, but you could hear their commentary upon the chorizo.
That's the perfect volume, isn't it?
Which is the sweet spot. It's the chorizo point. It's what sound technicians call the chorizo point.
Yeah. And what's the point of listening to music if it's going to drown out saying to someone, what is it again in chorizo? Is it paprika?
And how do you say chorizo? Because my friend Benny says chorizo. How do you say?
Chorizo.
Pass the hard sheep's cheese, please. Thank you.
Can you eat the rind? On that? I think so.
Do you know what? I'm just going to eat the rind. I'm just going to do it. Oh, you are. There you
are. I'm not sure if I've ever actually tried fig puree.
I'm going to put a little bit of chili jam on it. Homemade chili jam.
Yeah.
I think from here on in, Mike, this means that basically all gigs for you going forward are going to be sort of picnic events at local slightly homes.
Heaven is a place on earth. I know what you mean. I tell you what, I think heaven is actually this combination of honey with feta cheese, because you wouldn't have thought the sweetness of the honey would combine with that saltiness of the feta cheese, but it actually, really,
it complements it rather wonderfully. Yes, that's it. Yes, you're right. It was, a death knell of sorts, round.
Because you do, but I think the other day,
but it was one I greeted happily.
Because there's things that happen. So one thing that happens in life is during gigs. When you're young, you go to music gigs. You stand and watch them, and what happens is gradually you start to notice as the years go by, you'll go, what's that shiny fleshy orb that's bobbing? It's a bald man. Probably I thought there was a fleshy orb floating around, but in the mosh air, but it's just a bald man. Probably a young guy. Maybe he may have shaved it off as a look or something. Yeah, cool. A few more years go by, and you go, that's weird. There's like three or four jumbo ostrich eggs of was there an ostrich birthing? Was there an ostrich birthing on the way in? Is that that's a few, maybe someone's uncles or, yes, so a few bald. And then gradually comes a point where basically everyone's bald. And I've really noticed that in gigs, where it's like, bloody hell, it's fucking literally almost everyone is bald. Everyone's bloody bald at this gig. Including
both members of the Lighthouse family.
And the support act, right, said Fred. To be fair, they were always bald. I think there's a bald tipping point where you go, you know what? I could go and see Duran next week, or I could just open this 12-pack of Burford Brown eggs and look at them while playing my CD of the best of Duran Duran, because it's basically giving me the same bloody experience.
Every time we said Duran Duran, it's got weirder. Duran Duran.
Except during this version, at least listening to Duran Duran this way, I can actually make myself a scrambled eggs quite easily while watching it. Maybe chop up some chorizo, thread that through. Oh, that threads nicely through the scrambled eggs. Does make it go all a bit red, but I don't mind it. What is a chorizo exactly? I mean, then you can do that at home.
You're back to safety.
Yeah. because this has happened now, isn't it? Where okay, here's a question. Is it that we stop enjoying these things so much as we get older? Or is it that we never actually
Disremembered, sorry.
Left that a bit late. Okay. or is it that we realise that there comes a point where we stop bullshitting ourselves, we stop pretending to enjoy these ghastly experiences that we just did because of social peer pressure? Standing around in a room while some talentless idiots they wouldn't know Bach if he was fuguing them right up close. Yeah? Wearing stupid floppy trainers, shouting some absolute nonsense. And when you're a teenager, where you go, because social peer pressure, you go along with it. I mean, desperately needing a piss, all that stuff. Standing around.
No, I genuinely enjoyed it as a teenager and had, you know, experience. Sort of, I remember sort of seeing bands and just thinking it was the greatest thing ever. And then now I just don't have that experience ever. No.
It did blow my mind to think, I listened to this stuff, you know, on my cassettes privately, and now I'm actually in the room and they're actually doing it.
Yeah, that was fun. I did like the music. I also when we were teenagers, that was one of the few places where we were sort of allowed safely to go out and just be left to it of an evening.
What, going to see a music gig?
Was a gig, yeah. That was okay.
Yeah. And obviously that would be rural pagan, like that.
They were synonymous with freedom.
But you'd be watching like the Fungus Boys and stuff like that, wasn't it?
It was all obviously.
Blowing through, a lot of it was blowing through funguses.
They were playing,
and stuff, wasn't
playing
it?
Mushroom flutes and.
Mushroom flutes.
Yeah. Hollowed out bits of ancient oak.
Yeah.
And heavy druidic symbolism throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Obviously. And it would just be on a solstice. I mean, we weren't out and out unless it was a solstice or something. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, you're staying in.
And frankly, you were young. He didn't care how much chicken blood you ended up with all over your shirt. Do you know what I mean? When you went home.
Well, if you've got to learn chicken husbandry, you've got to learn chicken husbandry, haven't you?
So yes. Yeah.
Drinking mead out of a bark kettle. Anyway, the Arctic.
And of course, there are tickets available, I believe, for live performances by the Arctic Monkeys probably quite soon, because they've got a new album, I believe. So we're back where we started.
Have you heard their most recent album and stuff?
Well, it's like, yeah.
Absolute nonsense.
Oh, okay, interesting. Well, what they've done is they've become, again, going back to our theme, which is still actually not the topic of the show, though. can't be too smug, but... which is, it's sort of turned into Richard Hawley background music. I mean, they've...
it's chorizo time.
It's chorizo. I mean, that's the name of the album. It's called It's Chorizo Time.
Oh, are they just getting ahead of the scene, though? Are they just working out that their fan base is... They're going to be middle-aged soon, so we might as well get this stuff right, get it down, so that by the time they're coming to see us in the open air in Regent's Park or whatever.
Yeah.
Or in a ruined castle outside of York, then we're ready for them.
I think so. I mean, they've even got there's a song on the album called "It Is Paprika." Yes, isn't there? It's paprika. You were there in your Reebok. Paprika. I don't know the music that well.
That was pretty close, though.
Was it? I've heard a bit of that album. It's very jazzy and like
he's gone a bit kind of lounge singer.
Yeah, exactly. It's all quite Richard Hawley.
You brought the chorizo to my door.
Yeah. You wouldn't tell me how you pre-prepared your aubergines, and that's when I knew that we were finished, baby.
Smoky eyes and spooky aubergine. That's about the ganoush, isn't it? It's all that stuff.
Just me and you in a smoky bar. Me and Ottolenghi.
I said, Ottolenghi, can you lend me 50 quid? Because I want to buy one of your starters.
And you just told me an anecdote about a band, Pine Kernel. Lend me a lengi, Otto Lengi.
But what is a... Oh.
Can you reuse a cinnamon stick?
I was in the back of a riot van with a chorizo plan. I bought a chorizo from the supermarket, but it turned out it was one of those ones where it's actually is a chorizo. So does it need to be baked or is it ready to put in a salad? I wasn't sure.
Have you ever had that chorizo?
Oh, yeah.
There are some chorizos where it's like it's a raw chorizo.
Mm.
And that's the Arctic. This is from Louis. Hello, Beans. I've been following the HP method. Brackets.
Oh, brilliant.
Downing 2 pints of water every morning. Close
Look,
brackets.
I'm genuinely holding some water right now. Yeah. I it's not just talk. I live this dream. Yeah.
So I've been following the HP method since December.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, it's going great. I've never felt so whimsical, and my procrastination levels are off the chart.
Welcome. Welcome on board.
That's because you're heavily diluting some of your really necessary electrolytes, and your brain can't function properly.
Welcome on board the good ship. We haven't set off yet because we've lost the ship instructions.
Boggy brain. What's going on?
Yeah.
However, with the recent plummeting temperatures, I've found it somewhat difficult to swallow. The water from the tap is very cold. And even though we're a Brita household, the water is still very cold after filtration. Henry Packer recommends room temp water, but how does he achieve this on a consistent basis? Is he pouring out 2 pints before bed so they can achieve room temperature or using some sort of heating device? Please help. Louis.
Great question, Louis. Welcome on board. Firstly, I'd say the concept of room temperature obviously is a fallacy because whose room? Yeah? Is it Andrew Lloyd Webber's famously... subtropical toilet? Yeah? Or is it, you know, is it a room in an igloo or whatever? It could be, you know, there's this... That is not a serious category, room temperature.
It's one that you used, though, when you described how to do the Henry Packer method.
Good evening. They say time is a great healer. When I've got nothing to say, I will say slightly random phrases.
Well, hopefully that answers your question.
No, what I do is... Ben, I did say room temperature. I was referring to my own room, wasn't I?
Hmm.
Obviously.
So he needs to come round?
What I do is, genuinely, every day, I boil some water.
You boil it to room temperature?
No, I fill the pint glass. The method he's suggesting is leave the glass of water out all night so that it will become the same temperature as the room. Anyone that has even a passing understanding of osmosis will realise that what happens is the room and the glass of water agree a deal, a sort of treaty, whereby they both make temperature concessions and they both become roughly the same temperature as each other.
And we're calling that osmosis, are we?
Words are fickle things. But you know, it's osmosis in the sense that it's information being passed through a membrane, yeah. And... a compromise being reached between two sets of be it information or be it cells, be it neurons, be it protons. what you're looking at is an equalization of vibration levels on both sides of a membrane. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So thanks very much. I'll carry on now if you don't mind. Bloody hell. But I boil some water and I top it up with boiled water.
You boil some water, you top it up with boiled water, yeah?
And then... Okay, look, there'll be a room somewhere on Earth that's at a temperature. I can't tell you exactly where to find that room or the coordinates for that room, if I'm getting stuck on that phrase. But the main point is it's roughly the same temperature as the room that we all live around, which is the room of our internal body space.
So actually you want it to be body temperature water?
Yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think body temperature. So yeah, I top it up and then it goes down nice and easy, because otherwise, you can chug it if you can. you can drink it all down if it's cold, but it's actually, this happened to me this morning. You can, if you drink it down cold, you have to sip it because it's quite painful to drink cold water. So what happens is, if you're up against the clock, you then get stuck in a bit of dilemma, which is I could try and chug it down cold, just take a while, or I can boil the kettle, which means and I have to wait for that to happen. So in the short term, I'll be appearing to lose time. I'll be,
and you know what that's like, don't you? Being a guy up against the clock, tick tock every
morning. Oh yeah, tick tock, gotta go, podcast, gotta do. Gotta draw an eccentric looking cockroach with shoes and a snooker coat. But then towards the end, you pour the water in, then you can chug it down in one go. So, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, just pour some boiling water in.